Welcome back to Tab University. My name is Katrina, and I'm here today with two charming gentlemen from Tab. Would you guys like to introduce yourselves?
Sure. I'm Nick Russell, back again, Sales Director.
And good afternoon. I am John Sturgis, Sales Development Director, and it's my first time on the podcast.
Welcome. How are you feeling?
Welcome, John.
All nervous.
Good. No reason to be nervous here, because we're going to be talking today about commercial mortgages. Great.
Buzzing.
Excited.
Yeah. Buzzing.
And we'll kick things off quite simply with, what is a commercial mortgage?
Good question. Well, we are going to be launching our commercial mortgage very, very soon. So obviously there'll be more news coming out on that. But primarily, commercial mortgages are based around investment type properties, commercial properties, where it's not necessarily a regulated residential mortgage. So again, it's looking at the overall investment of the business and the property. So we'll look at various sites. We'll look at obviously certain residential types, but also some larger properties, warehouses, things like that. Airbnbs may come into play on certain things. So there's a vast majority we can look at. So I don't know if you've got any more on that, Nick.
Yeah, I think what is a commercial mortgage ultimately is, look at your own home mortgage. We're just lending on anything that's not particularly a home that's income producing. So whereas typically Tab's been a bridging lender, the big focus on commercial mortgages is, can the property we're lending on, can the income of that asset support the loan? And we will stress that slightly to make sure that there's no issues around income dropping off or interest rates moving up, and we account for that in the way we look at stressing that.
And what do people need to know about them, I guess? Well, as a general rule of commercial mortgages, and taking Tab aside, how is it different from bridging?
Well, I think the main difference is the term of the loan, right? So typically a bridging loan is 12 months. Right. Yes, there's some longer, some shorter, but let's just take an average of 12 months for a bridging loan. Generally, mortgages are a longer term option for investors, borrowers to lock away a loan for a long period of time, so they're not having to worry about constant refinancing or rate changes. So ultimately, the main difference is that for our product, we will be doing it anywhere from 3, 5 and up to 10 years. So you can happily take your mortgage 10 years, lock it away, and take whatever net income after the cost of the loan in your back pocket as an investor, and look, whatever you want to do with that. So obviously, each investor has their own way of managing assets. I think that's the main difference. And obviously, as I said before, the income must support the loan. So that property has to provide enough. And we will stress it. So obviously, the more income, the higher, more you can borrow. But with a bridging loan, typically, most of the time, interest is deducted off the top. So we're not always looking at affordability. So that's a real key point.
And what are the nuances of a commercial mortgage like? Are there any, well, I guess the stress testing and the affordability, I guess?
I think you've got some variations compared to a residential, and obviously the affordability is a lot stricter on a residential regulated mortgage. Therefore, it allows the on a commercial side a bit more flexibility how we look at income, and also from that side of things, speed is another one. Obviously, some of the regulated side it can take a long time, but especially at Tab, we do work really hard to make sure speed of the loan is key and paramount to us. So that's some of the parts.
And one big thing, actually, we've completely forgotten, which is the cost. So bridging loans are typically more expensive because they're short-term in nature. The idea is that you're locking away a longer-term mortgage at a much more affordable rate over a long period of time.
Sounds like a good product, eh?
Try us out.
Can you give me an example of a commercial mortgage? I tell you what, why don't you give me an example of a vanilla commercial mortgage? And then one that might be a bit more quirky.
Standard commercial mortgage would be your average high street Tesco. They've got a lease on the property for, say, 15, 20 years.
Or any other high street supermarket.
But we're being paid by Tesco. let's use that supermarket chain as our example. You know, that you look at what's called a strong covenant. So a Tesco and or Waitrose, anyone like that, they would be a strong, what's known as a strong covenant, because their business is strong. They're a they're a huge, almost multinational company with strong balance sheet. So you would look at that and go, the likelihood of them defaulting on their lease is extremely, extremely low. So you would look at that and go, right, it's got 15 years remaining. If we were to lend a commercial mortgage for 5 years, there's still 10 years remaining. There'll always be another lender to exit you at the end of that if something better came up or you wanted to, whatever you wanted to do. So that would be one property with one tenant. The income is coming from one tenant, nice and easy to work out. We know when the lease is ending. We know when the income's ending. The income might even be going up on a 3 or 5 year cycle anyway. So that would be a very simple commercial mortgage, and you might lend up to 70% of the value of that property, and the income would be comfortably there to support the loan.
And a bit more of a unusual one?
I think when you've got, if it's multi-tenanted, let's just say you've got maybe a shop with upper parts. So you might have a local shop on a 2 or 3 years lease, so that's quite short income. So you have the risk of, well, if you're writing a five-year term, that income could fall away. All of a mm-hmm. sudden, are you struggling to support the loan, which would be difficult. And then also above, you might have residential. So typically residential are running on 12-month ASTs. So the difficulty there is you need to calculate the risk of, could you have any vacant times? Would someone renew? Are you going to replace the lease? Is the existing leaseholder going to extend the lease? So there is a calculated risk between the borrower taking a loan that hopefully they can afford for the life mm-hmm. cycle. You're almost in some ways backing them to manage that asset, to realise that over a long period of time. And also you're looking at the short-term nature of the residential as well. Is that a good quality property that people can consistently rent out on ASTs and, mm-hmm. and they're not having any void or dead periods? So, that's not the most complicated, but you're looking at couple of different asset classes, mm-hmm. couple of different types of leases, short leases, longer leases, quality of the tenant. And also I think you're looking at the quality of the borrower. Some people are, they've got a huge portfolio. They have the infrastructure to manage all their assets. Mm-hmm. Some people, maybe this is their first or second or third foray into the investment market. We or anyone would need to assess their ability to manage an asset of that nature.
Great.
I think the other areas, obviously, I think where it gets a little bit quirkier from where Nick was going there is that it's managing different risk levels as well. So you've got, in the example Nick gave, you have, potentially variations of different incomes coming up, different parts of that business, and you have to be able to manage that risk and understand that. And I think that, again, sort of comes from the strengths of what we know in the business and through our history, so that helps.
Good. Still liking the sound of it, so we'll continue on to question number two. Can anyone get a commercial mortgage?
In principle, they could look at doing that. Obviously, it's slightly different. There's no credit score. We don't look on the credit score side of things, but obviously we do look at how the business is run. I think we do require them to have been in trading for a year, was it?
Yeah, I think they would have had to have one additional investment property for at least 12 months.
Yep.
So provided you can do that, would you say that...
Yeah, listen, sorry to jump in, but I think, for us, we have our way of doing it, mm-hmm. right? Ours is more of a portfolio landlord product. I think we need to be clear on that. But in theory, John's right. If you're buying a commercial property and you need a mortgage and the income supports a mortgage, there are lenders out there that can provide you a commercial mortgage.
Great. What information does a lender need to know? As a borrower, mm-hmm. what information does the lender need to kind of facilitate an easy loan transition?
I think the main thing is going to be tenancy schedule, credit history of your own credit history. I think it'd be difficult to take out a commercial mortgage if you're struggling with mortgage payments in your personal life. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big no-no for most lenders. We're not in the most high-risk market at the moment, so I think that people are being quite cautious. Mm-hmm. So you're looking for someone with good, clean credit, someone who is...
strong financials.
Yeah, and And ultimately, they're looking for the tenancy schedule, and which is basically a schedule of all the tenants that one plus that may be within the building, and potentially an asset management plan. You know, if there is an underlet property with a, you know, with multiple units, some are vacant, some are short leases. You know, you may be able to get a 3-year commercial mortgage, for example. But if you wanted a 10-year, you know, what are you doing to manage that asset? Do you have a good structure in place in terms of re-gearing of leases, extending them, maybe increasing the rents to fair market rent? What are you doing about the vacant assets, the voids? You know, there's a lot more elements to a property when it comes to that than just a straight, let's just say, resi flat with an AST on it.
And how long would it take to get a commercial mortgage?
With a bank, a long time. We're not a bank.
We are a specialist finance lender.
We are. You know, look, our, we've always been about speed because we're a bridging lender. And I think what we've wanted to do is provide the a very similar service, but with for a mortgage. Because I think as a former broker myself, and speaking to a lot of brokers all day, every day, the biggest, you know, bugbear of, of a lot of brokers and borrowers is the amount of time it actually takes to get a loan. And the other problem is the risk that either you could go 3 to 6 months down the line and still not even get it. You know, and I think that we're in a world, we just don't, people just don't have that level of time to throw away and waste. It's that comes at a cost. And if we can minimise timescales and costs to potential borrowers, that's where we feel there's a real gap for our product.
Definitely. I think, it's the backbone of the business is speed. We have great relationships with valuers, etc., so we can move things on really quickly. And I think, you know, our, as Nick said, our ethos is to make a commercial as quick as bridging, and there's no reason we can't.
Perfect. And finally on commercial mortgages and getting one, do you have to be a business to get one?
No.
Your property just has to be producing income.
Yeah.
Cool.
Pretty much.
Pretty simple.
Yeah. I mean, we're very comfortable on all sorts of borrowing entities and structures, whether it's a personal name, whether it's a limited company, an LLP, an offshore entity, overseas borrowers. I mean, ultimately, you're taking asset risk first, right? And as long as you've got cover on your asset, we should be covered as a lender, and then obviously the borrower and the profile of the borrower is, I wouldn't say it's secondary, but ultimately because we're backing someone, particularly with a mortgage, to make sure that the property hits all of its in our agreement. You know, we don't want it to drop below a certain loan to value. The loan to value to increase to a point where, because the property value's dropped because you haven't managed the asset and you haven't kept the income up. You know, there's got to be, we stress the income to make sure that if income does drop or interest goes up, which we have been in a rate rising market for some time now, we need to make sure that we're covered on both sides, because ultimately that's where the problem lies, and that's where people can encounter problems because they all of a sudden can't afford their mortgages.
Sounds good. Well, that doesn't sound good, but I understand. Okay, moving on to question number 3.
Yep.
It's all about rates. Do the rates change on commercial mortgages?
Yes.
Yes.
It's a tracker rate, yeah. Obviously, we have rate above base, bank base rate, which obviously can vary purely on what the government decide to do and if they're going to increase, which hoping we've sort of seen the end of the rises. So you would hope over the next 24 months we might even see some downsizing on that and getting a reduced rate. So that benefit, obviously, people taking commercial mortgages.
And how do they differ? You kind of briefly mentioned in comparison to bridging, but how do they differ to other mortgages, other mortgage products out there, bridging, regulated?
Obviously, compared to the high street in respect of residential mortgages, commercial are more expensive, but that's because there's more risk in certain areas of that, obviously from the income stream. So obviously we have to manage that. They are cheaper than bridging. So obviously bridging is a much more shorter term product, and therefore obviously there has to be a margin on that. So it sort of comes in between both residential and bridging. But I think, again, it's a flexible market. We look at what type of customer we're getting through the door, along with you know, the risk that we're taking, and we can sort of put the rates up accordingly to what we need.
And why would someone need to go for a commercial mortgage? You know, would someone possibly have been on a bridging loan and they're looking to refinance and we can refinance them? Like, or what kind of,
listen, there's quite a few reasons why someone would take a commercial mortgage. I mean, if you're on bridging, look, someone might buy a property and it might be vacant, right? So you might, you need that. You're not going to take a commercial mortgage on a vacant property. So make that very clear, because there's no income.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you stressing? So someone might take a bridging loan, which is a bit more expensive, but they can offset that with deducting interest. Mm-hmm. So they're not running into cash flow problems. They're then managing that asset, maybe refurbishing it, maybe getting tenants in, maybe on new leases. Once that property is starting to become income producing, and if you've got signed leases, then it's in a position where you can start to transition over to a commercial mortgage. You might be at the end of your term of your existing loan.
Mm-hmm.
That bank may not no longer have the appetite to do the same things, which we often see happening. You might be buying straight away with long-term income, and you've got enough time to complete on the purchase, so you don't need to wait. Look, it's not necessarily cost-effective to go bridge commercial mortgage, because you're doubling up on cost, mm-hmm. cost, and you're going from expensive to slightly cheaper. But bridging has its place, commercial mortgages has its place. Ultimately, as long as the asset, and I would say for our product, we aren't just commercial, right? Our product, it does cover residential. So the idea is it is a portfolio product. So you can lump in a resi and HMO. I know you sort of, we touched on it before. But basically, any income producing asset for us is called is commercial property.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah.
We get loads of options then. Are some there, what would we not lend on?
Land, development, refurb.
If we're talking about income producing properties, what we wouldn't lend on, currently not straight owner occupier, because that is a different, you're looking at it a completely different way. You're now looking at the income of the business that's borrowing rather than the income of the leases in place on the asset.
Got it.
So we'd have to do a whole business assessment of that borrower to show that their own income within their own business
is enough,
over a couple of years, that if you average that out, that they would be able to afford that mortgage over a long period of time. So the product's not in that place right now. There are ways of doing it, which is, it just gets a bit more complicated, but what's called the PropCo OpCo structure, where the same borrower will own a property company, which will own the property, and an operating company, which is operating within the company. If there is what we call a fair market lease, so there is a lease in place between the two companies, mm-hmm. at fair market rent, and we feel that both those companies are strong, there's a potential to look at that as a sort of lease trading asset
solution.
Yeah.
And then moving on to question number four,
mm-hmm.
how much of a deposit is needed for commercial mortgage?
I mean, typically probably 30%.
Fine. So, yeah.
Not dissimilar to most other. I mean, most commercial mortgages are 65 to 70%. The higher you go, so when we launch, we're launching with our product as interest only, up to 65%. But there are mortgages, and ours will eventually, we will be going to 70%, but there'll be some level of amortization involved in that.
And for our listeners, what does amortization mean?
Want to take that?
I knew you'd throw that.
I'll take it.
Go on then.
All right. So amortization is basically paying down the loan over the life of the loan to reduce the loan to a comfortable level that we as a lender are comfortable at the end, because we don't want to be in a position where we're at a high risk position at the end of our loan and we can't refinance ourselves out with another lender. We don't always want to resort to selling. I think you need multiple options. So we're happy to provide a higher risk solution at the beginning, as long as that we, the borrower and the lender, are aligned to reduce the risk over the term of the loan.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is, instead of your income, the income of the property, just paying for the interest, you're now paying for interest and a small amount of capital reduction. It's just a capital reduction.
Got it.
It's just a fancy way of saying capital. I could have just said at the beginning and cut all the crap in between.
No, Nick, everyone loves the
car. Yeah, I'm sure.
And how much income is required for a tab mortgage?
How much income?
Yeah. Well, like the minimum amount we'd sort of look at.
Well, our minimum loan's £250,000. So you'd look at what is the cost of that. So you just need enough income to support the cost of that over a year from the income of the property, plus stressed a slightly higher interest in case base rate goes up. And also we'd stress the income reducing slightly in case some of the income fell off. And so it's hard to say how much income would you need. I don't think that I don't know if there's a number to that.
No.
But it would just be.
But we would have our mortgage calculator on our website to help you.
You can go and look at the mortgage calculator on the website, www.tabhq.com/calculator/
Something else.
Tab mortgage calculator. It'll be in show notes. It'll be in the show notes.
Martin
below.
Tyler.
It's live.
Well, bring us nicely on to the final question, which is, what is the tab mortgage? We've kind of already spoken, but in a 1 minute summary, all the detail, what is tab mortgage?
It is a new product to the market that we will push really hard through our relationships, because we see the fact that the market is up to about 50 billion. It's doesn't have as many lenders as bridging, so therefore we're going to push hard on that with really good pricing and speed.
Speed. And 3, 5, 10 year term?
Yes.
Yeah. Minimum. I'll add. I'm happy to jump in and add. I would phrase this as a portfolio landlord mortgage product. It's almost asset class agnostic. I'd say that right now things like care homes and children's nurseries, operating assets, are slightly more difficult for us. But residential, HMO, industrial, retail, offices are all covered under this product. As we said, 3 to 5 and 10 year terms, interest only up to 65%. And one big thing I would say, there are no ERCs on our product, which are early repayment charges. We have a fixed exit fee, which can be reduced through a number of sustainability ways. Whether that may be through improving your EPC rating by the end of the term of the loan means you can reduce the exit fee by 25 basis points per rating you go up. What we're looking to do ultimately, in a quick snapshot, is help improve existing UK real estate stock. And we will reward our borrowers for doing that with the privilege of reducing the exit fees to a very, very low level, which I think is palatable for borrowers, brokers and ourselves.
Nice. And why did Tab release a commercial mortgage?
For me, as someone who's been here a while, I think it dovetails extremely well with some of the bridging that we've done. So half of our book's commercial property anyway, half it's residential. A lot of our borrowers have income-producing assets. A lot of them are taking a bridging loan to improve their property, to buy it, to manage the asset, and ultimately they're then taking us out with other lenders. And we just felt if we could offer a one-stop solution for purchase, refurbishment, and then holding it long-term, we felt that we could be a viable option for people to stay with us in the long-term across all our products if they've hopefully enjoyed the experience of the first product.
Great. You briefly mentioned the ESG discount. How is that different to others?
But there are, having looked to the market, there aren't many lenders out there that offer the ESG discounts. There's probably only a couple of others. But as Nick said, you know, it's about improving the stock in the UK through various different angles. And that's obviously whether that be adding a electric car plug, you know, boilers, heating systems, whatever it might be. That
solar,
you know, solar panels improves every part of the property. We then obviously, the customer still has a better level of stock. Mm-hmm. We have that, so the price hopefully would then go up. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Tenants as well.
Yeah, tenant profile. It could be a charity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be a solar panel factory.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if any solar panel factories out there need a commercial,
you know where to go, yeah.
We'll wrap things up. Is there anything else you want to say about the Tab mortgage product? It is live. You are able to come and get it. You know who to call. You can call Nick, Sam, Sophie, Joanne, Aaron, John. or anyone at TAP. And they'll point you in the right direction.
That sounds like a random group of names. what do I want to add to this? I think this has been a long time in the making. We've spent a lot of time on this product. We're very excited about it. We're going to be very liquid. We will have, you know, a lot of money to be able to get out into the market. We want to be able to support people long term. We feel like we've supported people pretty well with our short term lending. And this just feels like a great evolution for us as a business, evolution for TAB, and hopefully with our borrowers and brokers alike. We're excited. We've been talking about it for quite a long time. It's probably the worst kept secret in the whole market. You know, we've got a good big launch party next week.
Launch party's happened.
Yeah, if you listen to this and you haven't had an invite and you want one, you can call Katrina. I'm
the
sure
launch
we can.
Party happened last night, Nick.
Oh, right.
Oh, cut that bit out.
We've done well then.
Sorry if you didn't get an invite. You obviously didn't make the list.
No, it's I'm sure they did check your junk.
So, listen, I think come and speak to us, see what it's all about.
Exciting times.
It is exciting.
Great. Well, there you go. That's all on commercial mortgages, TAB Mortgage, and the evolution of TAB. Hope you all enjoyed listening. Thank you both for joining me today.
Thank you Katrina, as always.
Any questions, leave a comment, get in touch. Happy to answer them. Until then, see you next time.
We
Bye.
Out.
Bye.